up top. We're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top. We're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. After a week's hiatus, three games on the bounce for Bowles, still yet to concede a goal within the 90-minute time frame. We're still holding on to our top of the table league reign at the minute. Just before we kick start, I want to welcome on board a new sponsor of the podcast for this season, McMillvers. You can find him at McMillvers.eu. With staunch Bowles fan Emma McCauley decided to jump on and give the podcast a bit of a partnership and a dig out here. McMillvers are reliable, most trusted moving service in Dublin. They need a reliable mover in Dublin. Their top rated delivery team drivers, high quality results that saves time, energy, and money. Contact today for a free quote. Hopefully now Emmett will be able to move a few trophies from Dublin 24 over to Dublin 7 at the end of the season, Pete.
Top man, Emmett, fair play to you. And yeah, when we get our big breakthrough and we start working in this yard along to the Simon Jordan, you can move all our equipment over and all our bits and pieces. So that'll be the next big job for you.
Yeah, I know Jamie Whelan said that he was using it to move a few bodies up to the Wicklow Mountains a couple of years ago. So he said, most certainly reliable and discreet service also provided for anyone in that sort of industry. But
and your Bowles fans moving bodies, you might be a busy man after on the back of this podcast.
Yeah, so look, we will kick off, and Pete, we'll start with probably the double header just gone by us the weekend. 4 points for a turn. Galway game we'll start off mainly, and a 1-0 win over them. John Caulfield's main set up a team, as John Caulfield has set up probably for as long as I've been supporting the League of Ireland. And it was a real case of could we break them down and could we stop them from maybe nicking a goal to win it? Unfortunately, we've probably done something about this team in previous years, probably couldn't do.
Yeah, I missed Friday. I was I was busy on Friday with the kids' sport, but like it was just everything that I think everyone expected it to be. I don't think anyone expected it to be a free flowing game of football, a little bit flat. And obviously, the onus has been on Bowles to go and get that win and find the win, which we managed to do, which is fantastic. So yeah, it was a great win. Hard fought and all as it was, and as you said, it mightn't have been one of those wins we would have gotten previous years, and we could have even lost that game in previous years. So a brilliant win and set us up really well for Monday. And the centre half with a goal as well at Galway, man. So spreading the goals around as well. But a fantastic win on Friday.
Yeah, it was one of those games where, you know, I had a feeling we were going to score. I think the goal just got that little bit deeper and deeper. Our centre half went off injured. I think they made had two or three injury substitutions, and it was just a case of if we did get that chance, would we score? I think the first half we probably pressed a little bit more, probably tried to batten down. But I thought during the middle stages of the game, it just like it was going to peter out a little bit, and I had a feeling we'd have that little sort of that sort of last 15, 20 minute huff and puff, and it did come true. And the man that got it was Patrick Hickey, the American Dream. The Hickey mania is going to run wild on you, Pete. He's been brilliant at the back. I think he's been like a spider, but come up with that goal on Friday really sets him off.
Been brilliant, like, but not only his defending, just his distribution and the calmness on the ball. Even on Monday, like, he's just starting all our attacks, he's getting the ball, he's playing the simple pass. And that's probably another reason why we're not conceding, because we're keeping the ball so much better. And that starts at the back. We're passing the ball into our midfield a lot crisper. We're keeping the ball. We're recycling it. We're not kicking the ball away from the back. We're keeping it. We're gathering momentum and starting to attack. So, he's just been brilliant. He's been as good as a sign I can remember in the last couple of years. I mean, talk about hitting the ground running. He's just been absolutely fantastic. He's a joy to watch at the moment. And if he can pop up with a few more goals and get his nut, big American nut on the end of a few more crosses, we'll reap the rewards.
Yeah, most certainly. I think him and Todd have built up a relationship. I did say a couple of weeks ago to you on the podcast that there's no real excuse now of, you know, the team needs time to gel if it did fall to shite. It certainly doesn't look that way, but it's probably important. We know we're going to touch on a couple of injuries there ever so shortly, but it's probably important to keep those two fit at all costs.
Absolutely, yeah. They formed a serious partnership. But we do have other bodies there that can shuffle around. I mean, we've Papineau who haven't played a minute of football. Not as high hopes for him. He's not everyone's cup of tea. He was hot and cold last season, but I mean, he is a decent player to come in and do a job. But if we can keep those two boys fit first and foremost, that gives us a great platform then to go on and kick on. The only concern would be. For me, it's just not a lack of goals, but we've only 2 goals in 3 games, and they're 2 goals from centre half. So again, I know it's only a small sample size the last 3 games, but we need our attacking players to start scoring goals as well, and we need to start that on Friday because I think although Dundalk probably won't be as negative as Galway, they'll certainly sit in and we'll certainly have the majority of the ball, and it'll be up to us to break Dundalk down. So. They've gone to Tallaght already, and they've taken a point. So again, we need to be at our best on Friday, and we'll need people chipping in with goals, preferably from the top end of the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. I think you did touch on there. I know a former host of the show pointed out how we're not getting enough credit for the starting ages of the forwards that finished the game on Friday, I think it was against Galway. But I think that probably more showed how probably light we are up top. To be having to rely on Hugh Martin, only 16, and look, if you're good enough, you're old enough, that's the saying as it goes. But he's obviously not being. Some did ask the question whether he should be getting more time. I think Reynolds, Detzer, and O'Donnell will know more than the rest of us. They see him on a day-to-day basis, how much time he should be getting, how much exposure we should be giving him, and ultimately you have to try to trust him with that. Again, Whelan's our only real proper striker. Struds now seems to come on a small bit. Again, he's one of those players who's probably only going to get 15, 20 minutes max to kind of come on, maybe turn a screw a little bit, or maybe try to see out again, but. We're very light up front in terms of strikers. I don't know. Douglas James Taylor, obviously, been told he's a knee injury here. It's just really getting beyond frustrating now at this stage. I think people are almost quite fed up. One, I think we're being sort of kept in the dark of what the injury is, what the extent of the injury is. Look, obviously, it's at their own discretion. They might not want stuff to get out, and I can understand that they've been quiet. That includes anything regarding transfers or anything over the last sort of year, maybe or so. From a fan's perspective, not knowing that he's not going to be lining out once again for us, Pete, it's probably morally depleting as well, isn't it?
There's no point in going over old ground again. It's copy and paste from don't know how many podcasts we've done, all season. And like what an option that would have been to bring on Ntilikina on Monday night. That could have changed the game. Having a second striker or having someone to come on. We didn't look quite leggy in the second half, but I was bouncing off him a little bit. But again, that's probably forgivable, given the amount of games he's had. I don't think he's had a run on the team like he's had the last few weeks. But yeah, like we need another striker. The Hugh Martin, just the way the season is, it's just unfortunate we don't have a League Cup or the Leinster Senior Cup is kind of predominantly a pre-season tournament now for the top team. But there's just every game is so competitive. Every game is so important. We don't have the minutes to give the fringe players. They can play in behind closed doors games or 21s games, their 20s games. But we just don't have, unless you're going 2-3 nil up in a game, there's a real shortage of game time for these type of players, you're even looking at Diallo now saying, when's he going to get into the team? Like, is Friday going to be his chance to get into the team? When are we going to get McDonald back in the team? There's just a real lack of time to fit these players in and get them moving.
Yeah, I know you're touching the player Diallo there. After a brief spell at Waterford, I don't think he came on against Shells on Monday either. Maybe
No,
he
should be
didn't.
too tight. You couldn't afford it. Like I thought he was neat and tidy in Waterford, but he was slightly off the pace, and he did lose the ball a couple of times, and we nearly got caught.
Yeah,
And there was probably that fear that if he gives the ball away, in Talca with the quality Shells have,
there
we
was
might
a.
have been turned over.
There was a game. I know we had a couple of neat little 5-yard passes that people seemed to work the drilling over, but when he looked like he came on, he looked unfit. He didn't look like he was up to pace at all. It was almost like I watched the Moose just run back on the pitch one more time for Bowes. There's a ball he put across. I think Waterford broke from it. He tried to just
Yeah, that's the one I'm
basically
talking about. Yeah.
he put that across, and Ross Tierney actually overtook him running back. And Ross Tierney's about 10 or
Yeah.
15 yards behind him, overtook him. And I seen Tierney give him an absolute earful. I don't know whether that's down to fitness or lack of desire. I know the Derry man did say that his issue is probably maybe his off the ball work ethic. He's more of a, sorry, sort of a footballing number six or a number eight more so than like that man who's going to break up the play. But we're not a team that has that luxury of being able where players can sort of sit off and do what they want. Look, Dawson Avoy puts in the hardest yards on the pitch.
Let's hope it was just sharpness as opposed to, any great issues with fitness or desire. I mean, there doesn't need to be any shortage of desire within that team at the moment. They're giving everything. So whatever we lack in quality or, we lack in a bit of guile, we're certainly making up for it because there was no ball left. There was no tackle left. There was no stone left unturned to make sure we got that draw the other night. So. No effort with no lack of effort or whatever. So let's just hope it's a little bit of sharpness with Diallo. And Friday might be the game for him again. As I said, if we have plenty of ball on Friday, he does have the guile. He is dynamic, so he might be the one to get us going on Friday.
Yeah, and the other sort of player who's been out injured the last game, I think, was obviously being Dale Rooney. Rumour has it
Yeah.
wasn't looking too good because, again, everything's sort of watertight. We don't know what exactly the extent of the injury is, but if the rumour that to be true, it could be quite a long off
Yeah,
season.
doesn't sound great, but probably just as well holding off on that till we get confirmation on it. But yeah, it doesn't sound great from the whispers we're hearing. So hopefully it's not as severe. But again, as you said offline, he's the one that drives us. He's been fantastic in a lot of our big performances. He drives that energy and he really gets us up the pitch. So that'd be a huge blow if he was available for any length of time.
Yeah, definitely. And that was sort of he was our stats man really the last couple of seasons, although I don't think he's a player you might see on the pitch getting involved in tackles. He doesn't really beat a man. He is the man that puts the ball on the
Yeah.
striker's foot or the striker's head, and it ends up being the assist that could win a game or grab a point out of a game. I think that he's got that bit of quality where he might not have it in terms of pace or even so dribbling ability.
He leads the press, doesn't he? Like he's the first one in. He's if their fullbacks are on it, he's blocking blocking the way out for them. He's the first man in. So he's very, very important for that style of play. I think especially in the home game. Pen teams in and really pressing that Rovers game spring to mind again. He was just all over them like he was straight in them and straight in on top of them. So yeah, from that point of view, I know the flip side of the coin is I think Eldaney looked very good in talk as well. So I'm not sure what the deal with him is in terms of how long he'll be with us, but he looks like he could do a bit of damage and he looked like he could be
I think he's a permanent signing.
Zany, isn't he?
Zane, yeah. Now, when I seen his name and he signed for Vos, Zane Myers, I thought to myself, this fella's going to work out. I'm just looking at his name. He looks like he should be in One Direction, not Bohemian FC. But
Yeah.
that's my old traditional thinking, LP.
Yeah.
I want a Johnny Fulham or, a Derek Power up front for Vos. I don't want the Zane Myers,
Yeah. I didn't even know. I couldn't remember his name on Friday night. I just called him Zany. So nobody looked very good the other night. As I said, it's definitely a player I can get some joy out of the next few weeks.
Definitely, yeah. So we all seen him on the bookies in from Conjure beforehand. He was 40-1 for goal scorer. Bet
A few of
responsive
the
lad.
lads are on that, right? Yeah.
He had 3 shots on target in the first half, and
He
he's
did. He
electric
did.
pace. And he definitely looks like he has a bit about him. So as we said, Wayne's not gonna be able to score every week. We do need goals from midfield. I think this boy could be the making or breaking of 5 or 6 goals from the wide
Absolutely, yeah.
areas.
We're watching them shoot and talk, and when someone has a shot and talk from where we're standing, you don't know where it's gone. It's just even advertisement hoarding. So 40-1 merchants were scrambling to see was there any chance of it going in. But not to be, but I don't think it'll be 40-1 next week anyway.
No, I suspect not. He did do let him off. He'd be excited to see now on a big Daily Mail pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially breaking on teams, he definitely has a bit of pace about him. But before
He
I
has a
move on,
tire at Dundalk on Friday.
Yeah, there wasn't too much talk about on the pitch on Friday, people. There's a few questions here. Those deaths of Zebra Reyes were pretty much heroics, and some wheels on him running down the pitch. I think that was a bit of Townie that came out on him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't in the ground at that stage. I'm not sure whether you were. We were kind of getting texts on the way up the on the way from the pub to the ground. But not a positive. Reynolds' reaction, I wouldn't have given Charles that much credit. I think he kind of tried to stitch it a little bit, saying we shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done that. But fuck, like, I wouldn't make any apologies for what went on there. Certainly not. So yeah, fair play to the players, and no one backed down, and we carried that out into the pitch. So no complaints whatsoever.
Yeah, and Patton was asked, should have Reynolds hit Dave Webster a dig? He nearly did. There's a video circulating there from someone on Twitter. He actually tried to kick the ball twice at balls. The first time he hit the player 5 yards in front of him. So you can probably see why he
He's
got the
probably
midfield.
entitled to do that. I mean, like, what the players did. I mean, they marched straight into Shell's half. So listen, if he wants to kick the ball, that's fine. He's probably entitled to do it, but fair play to Bowes. Definitely rattled them, and created a nice bit of needle that we can take into the next game. Lock A should be lively for Mr. McAllister beside the away dressing room for the next game. So I hope he brings his earplug for that one.
Yeah, and there's a few questions as well that lead into that. It seems like the team's a bit of bollocks about them. I think that off the pitch stuff probably showed that nearly as much as the on the pitch stuff has.
Well, listen. Ultimately, like, what's going to show you whether the team has bollocks or not is when what you do actually on the pitch. I mean, anyone can have a row off the pitch. Anyone can posture, and anyone can, throw a bit of weight around. It's in the last 10 minutes of games, do we have the bollocks? Or when things get tough in the next few weeks, that'll really show us whether the team has bollocks or not. So, I wouldn't jump to the conclusion just because we had a row with Shells that were there. But listen, it's positive signs, and as if no one was taking a backward step. So. But you know what I'm saying? They carried that onto the pitch, and we won our tackles, we won our battles, we ran over Shells for most of the game without being superb. So, it's all good.
Absolutely, and the pitch probably the result probably I wouldn't say flattered Shells. I think we marginally edged it. If we had it came out 1-0 winners there, nobody would have complained. Shells
No.
didn't offer too much of a threat. We had a chances, maybe not anything glaring, but definitely had should have taken one of the many we had over the 90 minutes. And it's definitely not 2 points drop when you look across the grand scheme of things. It is Rovers drop points up and draw the Pats drop points at home to Derry. So it wasn't really any great loss in terms of, we obviously don't know, still don't know what we're trying to achieve this season, but we're definitely quietly confident.
Yeah, like I just hope we don't regret it in a few weeks' time. Michelle's did have a few bodies missing, but I mean, so did we. Like we've more players to come back into the side, but I just think we looked with a better shape about us. We looked like with the team that wanted to win the game a little bit more, and even the reactions of the players after the game, you can see in some of the pictures, the Bowles players seemed to drop to their knees a little bit as if it was one that got away, where Shells seemed to be more buoyant by the draw, and they were the ones really that were crying out for the final whistle. Without really, hurting them at all. We were the better side, created the better chances, but same with all saying, like, would you have taken a draw before the match? Would you have taken 4 points from Friday and Monday? You definitely would. But there's just a little bit of maybe we left it behind, and should we have went for the throat a little bit more, but I'm perfectly happy with the start. I'm perfectly happy where we are. I'm perfectly happy how we're playing. But as we touched on earlier, just maybe the goals is the only concern. When you see Pat scoring freely, you'd just like us to maybe be a little bit more of a threat in front of goal than we have been the last few weeks.
Yeah, and the league, I think, is probably starting to take a bit shape. I know it was very competitive last year. Anyone could beat anyone. It's not the case. El Chippy Stats came on to me this morning to give me a few things. Said, a staff here later, the bookies' favourite for the top five have played the bottom five 15 times so far. It's 10 wins and five draws with no defeats for the top five. Bowles 9 points, Pats 9 points out of nine. Derry have 7 points, 2 wins and a draw. Well, Shells and Rovers both one win and two draws, so they have a worse record against the bottom teams. So Chippy says these are more or less the games we keep winning, and we'll be looking at the top end of the table rather than the bottom.
Yeah.
He then said, "The expected top five have all played each other four times. Bowls 2 wins, 2 draws. Shells 2-1-1. Pats 1-2-1. Shells 1-2-1. And Derry 0-1-3. So they've only got 1 point out of a possible 12. It is taking a bit of shape. I think we're all probably longing maybe for Lynch to get a bit more time. I think Philip Dwyer, or O'Dwyer, whatever it is, he doesn't really, pull the trigger. Managers, he was willing to give Higgins another year, and I was a Derry man, probably a bit different, but." I think we were definitely staking our claim for that top three position.
In fairness, it's probably what most people were saying before the season started. You've two banked the five there. You've the four Dublin clubs, and Derry, and then you have the rest. I didn't think it would be as cutthroat as it has been so far, based on those stats. I think last year you had Drogheda kind of upsetting the apple cart a little bit. They were taking points off the top teams and beating the top teams. You don't seem to have that this year, so they'll probably be a little bit cleaner in terms of 5-5 this year, but. We just need to make sure we're still in there, and Derry can hang on to Tiernan Lynch as long as possible. That'd be great as well, because he doesn't seem to be getting them going in any way, shape, or form. A couple of the match reports, they're a little better against Pats, but they're not picking up points at all. So, the bigger the gap between ourselves and them, the better, obviously, going into the next few weeks.
Yeah, although there's nothing more certain than a stage of the season where Derry go on and win 6 or 7 games in a row.
Yeah.
They seem to do it every year around summertime at some stage to just pull those victories out, and they go through a bit of relentless. They have got the quality, they've got the players there, so
Oh, of course they do, yeah. But as
we're
do
excited.
Shells, as do Pats. Like, there's any team in that top five that could go and win 6 or 7 on the spin. Pats are always going to, pick up a little bit. Shells will be back, there's no doubt about it. So we need to make sure we're picking up points while we're playing well, which we are doing. So, keep winning and keep, try and keep everyone relatively fit. Give as many players game time as we possibly can, and keep going. But great to have another big game on Friday, and to be looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to Friday now. Game Conor Cairns is not playing all the same, but looking forward to Friday now, I have to say.
I think he's sitting on block A and watching it down the front, down the wheelchair section.
You'll probably see more of it than I will, won't you?
But I think we're definitely looking at this sort of bank of 4 games. Now we've got an international break, probably not coming at a good time for us. But Dundalk at home is definitely one we need to stake 3 points. Just looking at there, the league is more or less, I wouldn't say it's won, but. Your April and May, where you've got that huge fixture haul, where once you get to the summer, once you get to June, there's that break. Teams have Europe, then you're into League Cup, League Cup, League, League Cup, and there's not too
Europe.
many games. Europe, that's what I'm saying, in the midst of it all. Like,
Yeah, it's only
so.
around the corner. The draw will be like, we come back from the international break, we're April, May, and then we've the draw in June. So, by the time the international break is finished, I think our next game is what, the 6th, 7th of April?
Would that be yeah would be right yeah it'd be the bank holiday weekend. I think it's
Double
the
header, yeah. Waterford and Drogheda,
Waterford
is it?
and draw it away to Friday, Good
Yeah.
Friday, and then Waterford at home. But yeah, it's I think like, you look at how Shells won that league. Not saying we're going to win the league, but when Shells had won that league, that's the 2 months they accumulated their lead,
Yeah.
from June to fucking October. Shells were absolutely dog of the door.
Yeah.
They fucking basically were losing every other game and drawing every other one of that. They did have the league more or less, I wouldn't say won, but there was not Rovers couldn't catch them by that stage. Derry were
Yeah.
just as bad as them. We're going to be looking like that top three breaking into position. I think we need to keep these run of fixtures going. We have to get through April and May quite unscathed, build up a good point lead ahead of whoever's fourth even by that stage. I think at the end of May, that's when people can say that there's a dream. I don't buy into the online giddiness too much. Let's just be
No,
cool and confident about
we keep our feet in the ground until the last until the last game of the season. But yeah, I
it.
mean, in terms of the fixtures, we have the double header at the Easter Bank Holiday. That's Drogheda and Waterford. Then we've Sligo home, and then the next 3 games. Then that's when it really gets spicy. Rovers on the 17th of April, Pats on the 24th of April, away, two away Dublin derbies, and then home to Derry,
The home today.
and then
That'll be
3 days later, home to Shells on the 4th of May. So that's some run of games from the 17th of April We play all the big ones. Shells, Bows. Well, Shells aren't the big one, but Shells, Derry, Pats, and Rovers within the space of 3 weeks.
Yeah, do you know, remember every week I'd say from July to the end of the season, we said, oh, yeah, we should know more by the end of that.
Yeah.
Suspect by the end of that Shells game, we will have a
Well, I
fairly.
tell you, we will definitely know. Absolutely. So we'll either be getting extremely giddy, or we'll be calling for our favorite manager's head again.
Dundalk on Friday. I think we've probably found a good time. I don't foresee, geez, completely in the arse already this, but I don't foresee Dundalk winning 3 in a row. I don't think they'll do what Caulfield done. I think they'll come out a bit more. They know they can afford it. I know you said before the season, I don't think they'd be anywhere in the relegation. When they signed Booker and Carmel, just straight away you knew that's enough to keep them up alone.
Yeah, has Booker been playing? I know he was kind of in and out. Did he play Friday, or?
I'm not too sure. I didn't check, but it's not even maybe so much on the pitch. It's having that in the dressing room.
They look a handful, but we shouldn't be worried about Dundalk. We turn up, we play well, we're about our business. We'll turn them over. I don't say that in kind of an arrogant way that we're going to blow teams away or. But if we're about our business and we're up for it and the standards happen, we'll beat them. And that's the way we have to approach these games now. We look after ourselves. We don't have to rely on teams not turning up or teams carrying injuries. We're good enough to go and beat anyone on our day and especially at home. And to get a win on Friday be absolutely fantastic. Then with the international breakdown, it will have been a really, really, really good start. Then we'll have one series of games played almost one game shy, and that will have been a fantastic return if we can get the win Friday for the first series, bar obviously the last one, which is Drogheda.
We're looking at the bank of 4 people. We'll be back before them on the podcast, but it's Dundalk at home and Drogheda away. There's probably no better time in the world to be playing Drogheda at the minute.
Oh yeah, especially with the news this evening. I think they're in turmoil at the moment.
Would not be confident that Kevin Doherty being in charge of that football club when we played him. And I'd say that's at his own decision making. What's going on at the minute with Trivella and.
Yeah, I think truth be told, he's probably a manager that would be able to get a job elsewhere. I think the Waterford job is going to be available pretty soon. The Derry job could be available pretty soon. So I'd say he's keeping his finger. Or he's keeping his phone turned on, and he's not afraid to answer a call or two because it just seems an absolute shit show at Drogheda at the minute.
Like
The two positions are so entrenched that you just can't see any backing down on either side, and it's going to linger. That's beyond repairable. Those kind of moves that have been going on this week.
because it's the daily, I'd imagine, or sorry, not daily, Doherty, I'd imagine he'd be dealing with Joanna quite regularly, given she's the Irish point of contact in the board as such. So I'd imagine she's the in-between person of everything that goes on. Again, I can see him walking. I don't think he'd be shy of a club coming in to take a punt on him, but most
I
certainly
think
not.
it could be a good way of him getting out of there as well. It probably hasn't turned out, the way he wanted it to turn out. They don't seem to have been able to build any sort of an improved squad. They've still lost players. And he's probably looking at it saying, I don't know where this is going to end. You'd be worried about Drogheda slightly. They just don't seem to have that what they had the last couple of seasons. That happens. That doesn't mean that he's not doing a good job. But when you're losing the players at the rates they've been losing them, trying to go to the well year after year is very difficult. And it might just be the end of time for a change for Doherty. But time will tell. But what kicked it off with, it's a great time to play them. That's our next away game, Friday
Before
fortnight, yeah.
and then we have two home games after that, back to back, Waterford and Sligo. So I think if now is the time. I think if we're gonna stretch our legs a bit and
Great
cut
run of
ourselves,
fixtures, isn't it? Like it's a
you can't have
fantastic run
three
of
home
fixtures.
games against bottom five teams
Yeah.
and one away to draw a squad that's in a bit of a ridiculous situation.
Yeah.
I think we have to maximise and points out in 4 games. I
Absolutely.
think like 10 is a minimum for me, like an absolute minimum. Given everything that's gone on, if you want to be a team that goes on and you want to be in a title, you have to be ruthless at this stage of the season.
I think with what comes after that, we need to make sure we're getting as many points as we possibly can. Because listen, no matter how good or how bad we play in that run of games that we've just talked about, the Shells, Pat Rovers, Derry, like you're not going to win those four games. You're going to drop points regardless. Even if you play out of your skin in four games, the chances are you'll come unstuck in one or two of those games. So, to maximise, as you said, the fixtures, playing, Dundalk team that are slightly depleted, a Drogheda team that are in turmoil, and then two home games, Sligo and Waterford. In any day and age, we should be winning those games. So it's a great chance for us, as you said, to stretch our legs and really click into gear.
Yeah, okay, and you're looking Rovers fixtures in the meantime. They've got Galway at home. You'd imagine they get the business done. Waterford away. You'd hope they could. That could be a new manager bounce by that stage.
Yeah.
Potentially,
Pete Long.
yeah. Well, back. I don't think he'd go
Yeah.
back down there. In fairness, and then they have before they play us. They've got Shells at home and Pats away. So there's an opportunity there. I think we're 4 points clear Rovers now at the minute. We maybe five. Now is a good chance we could go into that game potentially, 8 to 10 if we do our business. I know we can't be relying on other teams to drop points and we have to do our business, but if we go to out and Tala and we're 9 10 points clear, please God, of them, that's a game we can really go into and have a proper go off them out there.
I mean, it's really exciting. I mean, if we look after our businesses at the next couple of weeks, to be going into that bank of fixtures, followed by a European draw, it'd be a really exciting time at the club. You know what I mean? Let's hope it plays out like that, and let's hope, as I said, we can get the next couple of wins, get the points on the board, be in a strong position going into those games, and really attack it and really enjoy it. It's Rovers away, yeah. Pats away as well, yeah. So listen, it'd be a great time, and I said if we're still firing on all cylinders and have everyone fit, we'll enjoy it.
Yeah, and we'll look ahead to Friday, Pete, and we'll wrap up here. We have Dundalk at home. Can't see there being too much of a team change. I am a bit afraid of a burnout. We said last week that, when it came to July, we looked like we were a team that had spent all our energy. I wasn't sure if we were going to maybe switch players or give players a bit of a run out on Monday. He seems to be sticking with the same 11 at the minute. I know he has a good chance to international break to give a bit of
Yeah,
a
that's what I'm gonna
reset.
say. Yeah, there's a break and there's plenty of rest. So listen, go with your full complement on Friday. You might mix it up in midfield, maybe a little bit based on the opposition and based on what way he thinks the game is going to go. But I'd certainly be keeping the back five there and keeping everyone giving up that platform again. But yeah, there might be one or two changes.
Yeah, we'll hopefully see Zane Myers continue on Friday. It'd be nice, it's nice to see him stretch the legs out on that big pitch and see what he's going to give us, considering the dock won't be there. You'll be backing on P4 score score.
To one, yeah. If I can get to 40-1, I'll have a few quid on that. Pay for me trip to Prague next week. But yeah. So I'd say Zaney will start. Funny feeling he might get Diallo into the game on Friday. Otherwise, he's going to start looking a bit like the new Bastian Heary, isn't he?
Yes, indeed. Let's hopefully that's not the case. Well, I'll get you to give a score on a few before we wrap up.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my usual. I'm going to go 1-0. No, I'm gonna go 2-0. Goal in each half. Zany in the first half, and DJT off the bench for the second one.
I'm gonna go 2-0 as well. I think we'll get the job done. I can't. I won't be the most comfortable game, I don't think. But I think we'll see it over the line and another clean sheet. We must be near a record for clean sheets in the League of Ireland for the opening games. We can't be far off
Amen.
it.
Just looking at the other fixtures as well for the weekend. So we have Derry and Drogheda. You'd imagine Derry will get the business done there. Waterford, Pat. The John Daly Derby. Let's see, Waterford can maybe take a point there. And then Rovers and Galway, straightforward enough. And then Shells and Sligo on Saturday night. So I wonder, will you have five favourites winning this week?
It's hard to see against, isn't it? Just the way the bottom teams are.
Yeah.
I know it all looks so obvious, but it is hard to see anything other than that when just the way it's gone so far.
Five favourites won on Friday. First time in a long time I can remember the five favourites all winning. I think
Yeah,
Matt
thanks.
picked his five favourites, and he got a decent price on it. Yeah, there's always one or two upsets, you know.
I was chasing my Cheltenham losses with the Bowes Pats double. A large sum
Yeah.
of money I was chasing that, but I was the only man in Dalymount celebrating the Pats going 4-1
Oh,
up.
you got away with a fair play, yeah, and a last minute goal as well, fair play.
The last minute I go, I quickly hit the cash out button before they got that last check out for the sake
I'll tell
of
you
a
so,
ten or
yeah.
so. It wasn't worth my mental health or financial health by that stage.
No, certainly not.
Would be 2-0 each. You'll be in Prague, I'd imagine. But we'll get something conjured up before the double header once more. But
Yeah, we need to have a guest on. We've been promising guests for the last few weeks, but we'll have someone lined up for pre-double header. So keep your phone on, lads. The lads that have been dodging us for the last couple of years, we're coming to you.
yeah, we're knocking on the doors with a large microphone that doesn't work.
Yeah.
But anyway, as I do always, P.
We're going to be like Gavin Pepper running around sticking microphones in people's faces at this stage.
Live streaming on TikTok.
Yeah, big shout out to Gavin Pepper. He's bold. He was at a stag, the stag in Carrick on Shannon there, and he was confessing his love for the big club. He said he'd be at a match soon. So,
Yeah, anyway, Pete, as we always do, come on, the
listen, thanks for
fucking
that,
ball.
Jordan. Yeah, and I'll see you Friday. Come on, the Bows.